podcast series that focuses on big data and analytics and the latest trends in the digital world. I'm your co-host, Jeremy Roberts, and with me always is my co-host, Samir Khan. What's up? How you doing?
Hey, Jeremy. How's it going? Almost awesome. New Year.
Almost New Year's, almost holiday season. Things are winding down and ramping up at the same time. You know,
I know. Crazy.
And with that is the transition from 2019 to 2020. And for how many years in a row now that we've done with this podcast, we are going to go almost. Do our predictions. It's going to be awesome.
That's fantastic. This is it. You know, this is the
coolest podcast of the year.
One of the coolest ones of the year.
Exactly. So for everybody, we did 2019 predictions. We had 11 of those. We actually have 11 for 2020. And we're going to quickly go through. Samir and I did not, we purposely did not identify what stance or position we took on the 2019, whether each one came true or not. So we're going to discover this now, and it's going to be fantastic. Okay, cool. You ready, Samir?
I am ready.
Let's do this. Okay. 2019, number one, data analytics marketing predictions. Number one, organizations will increase focus on digital transformation instead of digitization. Oh, yeah, of course. I mean,
I think that we hit the nail on it.
Digital transformation is the way to go now. And it's just one of those things to where it, what I've even heard from clients is they're using that terminology too. You know, they're thinking about this crawl, walk, run. How do we get into the digital age? And not just through digital digitization, but something that you and I have talked about before. It's like technology, process, people, data, and culture, like that type of digital transformation, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it is something that a lot of organizations are already talking about. It. They are past the digital marketing, digitization. In one of the last podcasts, if you want to go look at the podcast number 48, that's exactly what we talk about, from digital marketing to digital transformation. So this is right on the money.
Awesome.
I feel like we did really good on this one.
Cool. One for one. Yay. Great. Okay. So number two, AI hype will continue to be a distraction, although it will gain more mainstream acceptance. I actually believe that it is a distraction in a way, because I think people are just using sometimes the term AI without really knowing what it is, or they say that they have AI within their tools and it's like in this new trend, but it's also become more of a common tool set or like a feature within new marketing tools. So I agree with this one.
Yeah, I think this year we saw, when it comes to AI, there are basically the three parts of AI, right? One is what they call is assisted AI, right? Huh. So the assisted AI is what's already happening. Is basically, if you look at marketing or any other sector like fintech, the humans are getting assisted with some type of an AI technology to help them get their job done faster, better, all the good stuff, you know, and more efficiently. Then the next phase is what it is essentially is augmented AI, which is human and technology are working together, more like really working together, not just assisting us. And then the third phase is full automation. This is when the automation will be ahead of the human. And what I feel is right now we are still in the assisted AI age with some augmented AI that's already happening. And most of the augmented AI, it's more fun and cool. So I feel like AI is not a distraction anymore. We're getting mainstream acceptance, but on the early stage, which is the assisted AI.
I agree. Yeah. So that makes sense. Very cool. Okay. So number three, data scientists will make way for data engineers as the top hot career. So I'll let you answer this one first, because this is more your realm than mine. But what do you think about this one?
There is definitely an increased adoption of data engineer and architects around the industry. In my company and other companies that I've been previously, there's definitely an incremental need for a data engineer and architect. I'm not sure if it's 100% swing in the way of data engineer. There is still a lot of demand for data scientists. It continues to be one of the top path, the career path from people who are interested in data. I don't think we completely nailed this one. I still think there is going to take another year or so before data architect and engineers will become, will spearhead compared to data scientists.
No, I agree. And I think a lot of companies are still in that phase where they're discovering these new titles and discovering these new careers that are, or these new roles that are needed within their company. So as people continue to do digital transformation, you know, that switch from just a data scientist into a data engineer will then become more prominent, I believe.
I totally agree.
Cool. Okay. So number four. U.S. and other non-European countries will introduce their own version of GDPR. Haha.
Yeah, California Consumer Privacy Act. That yep. is a proof that GDPR is no longer just a European issue or agenda. U.S. Exactly. is also adopting it with the California Consumer Privacy Act, and other states have similar privacy act that's going to go in place. I think we were right on the money on this one as well.
Exactly. Cool. Okay. So number, so we're, I guess 3.5 or 4 for 4 kind of.
3.5, I would say.
Yeah. Okay. 3.5. Cool. So number five, organizations will have multiple options to buy machine learning models. I agree. I mean, you just look at the Scott Brinker's last, what was the count in this past year?
7,500, I believe.
7,500. Okay. If you can't prove that this is true with now 7,500 tools, then there's something wrong.
Yeah. And I also think when we think about this prediction, this was more along the line of the marketplace to buy machine learning algorithms. While Kaggle.com offers a place where we can buy the capabilities, I don't think there are marketplaces available yet to buy machine learning models. That is something... I know Amazon is playing with something similar, and I think Google is also doing in along the same line. I do think mm-hmm. that we may have predicted that a little bit more earlier, like there's a marketplace for machine learning model. It's coming, yeah. But it's not there yet.
No, I agree. I think we predicted that the trend is going to happen, but I think right. it's taken longer to adopt. So
it's taking longer. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. Okay. So that's another half. So we'll say 4. Right. So
right.
Marketing automation will converge with artificial intelligence. Yes. I see yeah. that happening myself. So I see that happening yeah, with tools that I support.
That's great. Yeah, I do see that happening as well more and more. And one of the discussions that I was having with someone the other day, and we're talking about like the evolution of the marketing operations and marketing automation roles. And part of that is the marketing automation, as I was talking about the three spectrum, it's moving more rapidly towards the augmented AI and eventually getting very close to the autonomous AI, which is like everything is happening by the machine itself and there is very little human involvement. And I Yep. believe that marketing automation will be one of these areas where we're already seeing that change more rapidly than other areas.
No, I agree. I agree. Cool. This next one, probably I haven't dealt with it as much. You have more. So number seven is chatbot interactions will improve due to advancement in natural language processing. I mean, I think for me, semantically, that just makes sense because we have seen, you know, updates and innovations in natural language processing. And for me, it just makes sense that chatbot interactions will improve. And it's almost human-like now. But what is your take on that?
I agree. I think with many different solutions, especially solutions that are available to not only the large corporations, but also small businesses like ManyChat, for example, these companies and these startups and entities, they're providing lots of different options for humans to use a chatbot solution for their business. And for the consumers, is starting to become more norm, especially because of the Facebook chat. It's having much more broader acceptance, and no longer we're feeling that we're talking to a robot. we're okay talking to a robot, realizing that the conversation is more fluid and more smoother.
Mm-hmm.
I still think there is a little bit more research and more expansion of the language processing behind these chatbot needs to be done, and adoption needs to be happening. But yeah, I do feel it's a lot better than a couple of years ago where we felt like, hey, we're actually talking to a robot. Now it's more more smoother.
Yeah. They're so bad. You know, some of these chatbot interactions were terrible back
then. They were annoying.
Yeah, they were. I think, okay, so the next one, number eight, I think Apple proved this one already. Augmented reality will become a marketing channel. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is starting to happen already, right? Yeah, I mean, lots of games have been launched that are augmented reality. A lot of marketing campaigns are happening. That
the App Store for games, for Apple, there's an entire section just on augmented reality games. So
wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, so I guess there you go. Done, right? Okay, cool. Number nine, Facebook will lose more market share.
Oh my God, this one is like right on the money. Facebook is facing a lot of problems. I have seen one of the data set that was showing me double-digit drop in people no longer in Facebook. You know, people who are in Facebook, they're quitting because of the privacy issues, because of what happened in the in the elections and what have you. Like all the stuff is going against their favor, so they're definitely losing a lot of market share.
Yeah, and I think it's also because of, you know, the I guess generations, you know, different generations of people, the younger generations are using Facebook less. Older generations are maintaining their use of it. But, you know, all that's going to change in the next 5 to 10 years too.
Which is very important. That's one of the 2020 predictions that we have, which is going to completely align with what you just said, the newer generation and their adoption with social media.
Yeah. So we won't give anything away just yet. Like in about 2 minutes, we will. Okay, cool.
Yep.
Number 10, expect to see more marketing technology or MarTech consolidations. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, totally.
Big time. You know,
lots of consolidation. Adobe bought Marketo, one of the big consolidations that happened this year.
And Magento.
Salesforce bought Datorama. I mean, Google bought who knows how many brands. It is already happening. And it's happening to a larger scale, and it will continue to happen as bigger technologies will land grab the new and the best of the breeds. And the smaller, it will create path for new smaller technology changes, but consolidation is going to happen a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, when somebody comes in and wants to buy analytics, after that, you want to tie those analytics to site software like a CRM, or if you want to tie that to, you know, any type of data asset management tool. And then from that, you want to tie that into any kind of testing or targeting and campaign tools. You know, it you have to start using more things. And if it doesn't work with other things, it's not connected. That you need to have that consolidation. I mean, nobody's going to start buying your stuff when it's just a siloed tool. So.
Right. I agree.
Cool. Last one. Voice over internet search will reshape buyer behavior.
Oh, this one totally. I mean, this was the year of voice search. All the Alexas of the world, and I don't know. No, I've stopped counting. Saying,
I'm shocked. I'm shocked at how quickly it's come in and how creepy still Alexa is. But
yeah. And, you know, Echo, Amazon Echo, and then Google came up with their new device, the mini home, whatever. I mean, there were just so many devices launched this year that are all voice-based. And it's actually happening. If you go look at some of the SEO changes that are happening, the searches are becoming more sentence instead of keywords.
Well, so just for our audience, here's how you do it. The 20-second explanation of how you start to integrate voice search in your paid search and in your SEO, or I guess specifically SEO, is to create an FAQ page. So create a really robust, fully sentenced out FAQ page. And then from that, it'll start to, that's a step forward towards voice
search. I like that. Love it.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. 2019 is done. Let's talk about 2020.
Here's 2020. Wow.
Boom. Yeah, we don't want to delay this any longer. Okay, so we have 11. Number one, marketing and sales will continue to increase AI technology adoption. Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's a no-brainer, right?
It's like...
And exactly. And I think this is something that going to my thought process about the assisted augmentism and autonomous, I came up with my own terminology. Mm-hmm. Instead of AI, I'm calling it assisted marketing. Ooh. And augmented marketing and autonomous marketing.
Everybody heard that on this podcast.
This is it. I mean, from my perspective, which I was giving an example, right now we have a notion of assisted marketing. You have your marketing automation platform. It has some AI capability. You have your Salesforce CRM. You have some AI with Einstein, with Adobe mm-hmm. has Sensei.
Yep.
They're assisting you to do your job. So sales representative can look at their sales pipeline and Einstein can say, hey, by the way, in a specific geo, this type of customer has not been touched yet for X number of period. You may want to call them to increase your chances of conversion. Da, da, da. So that's assisting you to do your job better.
Yep.
The next evolution, what we're going to start to see more and more in 2020 is augmented marketing, where some of the stuff the machine will do by themselves. And it will help you even better as human beings. So you and machine will work together. So for example, going back to my sales example, the machine will already take care of a customer communication based on certain customer behavior to help the sales and marketing team continue the conversation. So it will not wait for the salespeople to do the job. It will do it on its own.
What's the most prominent tool out there that is an example of a marketing and sales tool that uses AI and automation? Marketo.
Right.
Marketo's the example of number one. It's Marketo, and it's a huge success. Everybody successfully uses Marketo. And because of that, that's why this is going to come true into 2020. So.
Yeah, and there is another platform that actually makes the booking on behalf of the telesales rep. I forgot the name runs out of my mind. That also uses automation to do the booking. But so that's augmented. And then finally, the autonomous marketing, which is there will be less need for what we call as marketers today and more a need of managing autonomous system who are doing the marketing for you. Nice. So yeah, I mean, I would say that 2020, we're going to see more of the middle part, which is augmented marketing.
Yep.
And then eventually it will go to the autonomous.
Sweet. Okay, cool. So number two, online buying will continue to put big box stores out of business. Well, yeah. Look what happened to Toys R Us.
You know? Oh my God. Yeah. This is crazy. I'm curious, like you guys are at the forefront of this, right? With Adobe Suite. What is the general observation when you guys provide your Magento solutions to the market? What's happening in the market? If you want to shed some light on it.
Yeah, so what we're finding out, this is exactly true. Online buying is putting big box stores out of business. The ones that are successful using it are the ones who are integrating multiple points of online and offline data. You know, when you're looking at customer data segmentation and behaviors, the big box stores that are staying open and are able to do it right and understand the value of their stores are the ones who are combining online purchase data, in-store buying data, and not even just in-store buying data, but also big box stores when somebody steps in, like an Apple store or Best Buy, the behavior on that app is tracking their movements, where they are within the store, what they're doing, what they're looking at, and so on, based on any kind of like geofencing and stuff, which is also creepy. But then it's also combining the customer service. You know,
nice
the customer service data. So with that combination, online buying will not destroy those stores, but everybody else, they're getting destroyed.
Wow, that's crazy, man.
Yes,
it's scary, but it's crazy. Like I like the touchy feely feeling of online stores. But this year for Black Friday, I literally decided not to go to any physical store.
Oh, I didn't either. No, I slept and I ate some pie. You know.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm just going to use online. But then when you know, specific thing, like probably like a shirt I'm buying or maybe shoes, I like to go to the store. Because well, sometimes like what you never know, like, what do you buy? And right,
I like to try buy something and then else. Go buy them online.
Right, exactly. Yeah, something like that, a combination, like augmented marketing. You know?
Well, here's the other thing. There's this terminology in the retail market called BOPIS. It's called buy online, pick up in store. So it's kind of a reverse too.
To nice. Where, I like that.
Yeah, these big box stores and retail markets are trying to get you to buy that online and then come in the store to pick
it up. Purchase the store. Yeah, yeah. I do that. Yeah, I know, like Macy's does that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So cool. Okay, cool. So that's a good one. Number three, mobile messaging app users will surpass the number of social network users.
Yeah, this is the one that I was talking about when we were mentioning the Facebook, right? So Facebook market share is decreasing. Social media in general what we're seeing is, and this is not us. This is according to Facebook by 2020, 80% of the smartphone users, that's 80% of the smartphone users are projected to be using a mobile messaging app, which is basically like WhatsApp or similar mobile social media platforms. Yeah. Instagram is one of the other ones.
Instagram, that is the reason WhatsApp, why. Line, all those.
Yeah, and that's the reason why we're saying that. I mean, this is not even a prediction. I mean, it's pretty obvious that social network will... It's funny, like 10 years ago, when most of the social network that we see today came into fruition 10, 12 years ago. And then now we're seeing the migration towards the new type of social media, which is the mobile social media, which is just incredible.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty intense because people will go and, you know, build out communication with people through these mobile messaging apps like the WhatsApp and so on, and just completely say, you know what, I don't even want to go to Facebook anymore. I don't want to go to these other
tools. You don't have to. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. And each of these also have their stickers and have their gifts and all the funny memes and crap that you can put on there. So there's no reason to even go to social media and get bombarded with ads. So
yeah, and I don't know, the new one that came out, like the people are doing a lot of videos on it. I don't even, I'm stopped TikTok. Following it. Yeah, TikTok. Yeah, I was like, I've stopped following.
I think I hate to say it, I think I'm too old for TikTok. I also want to be that old guy on TikTok with like the gray hairs in his beard, and people are like, dude, what are you doing on here? I'm not going to be that guy. So nice. I'll stick to my old school, old person social media sites.
Right? Seriously. It's just too much to handle.
Oh, shit. Yeah, number four. This is a good one. Video become table stakes instead of innovative strategy. Absolutely. I mean, this
I mean, 90% of all social media content that's produced today, it's a combination of video or imagery. And it has to.
Here's an example. And I do this when I do a lot of, training sessions or, you know, just kind of volunteer work and I'm helping small businesses. Like, well, what kind of content do you create? And I'm like, well, when you wake up in the morning, you yourself, even as a small business owner, when you wake up in the morning and you look through your Facebook feed and you're just either using the restroom, getting ready or eating breakfast or something, when you have a friend who writes a really long post and it's like something you have to push add more and scroll and you got to read, how often do you just scroll past it because you're bored out of your mind, right? Everybody else just wants to say, you know what? I'd rather look at the videos and I'd rather look at the pictures because that's what draws you in.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. It's painful.
Yeah. And if that's common for the average person, then it's common for businesses too.
Yeah. And that's exactly what we're saying here is video no longer will be something, oh, let's go do video. It's innovative. It's more so like if you're not doing video, you don't even exist. I mean, that's how it is. And that's how it's going to continue to be in 2020. You have to be on video if you want to market your products or services, or even if you want to serve your customer, or you want to reach out and share new innovative ideas, you have to be on the video. You have to be on the digital. And as a matter of fact, we're also thinking about, like, we have a lot of videos that we have recorded for the podcast and we want to release them slowly over YouTube, but video is, it is there to stay. And it's going to be the most important thing in your marketing media mix.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, so number five. Let's see this one. The rise in cybersecurity threat will require a new data management capability. This is an interesting one because I do completely agree that there is an absolute need in cybersecurity. You know, security threats are big. So when you talk about new data management capabilities, what exactly are we talking about here?
I think that, and if going back to our hosting world, right? We both come from the hosting world. When we started with it, we were purely focusing on bare metal services. Mm-hmm. You have a server and you buy the server and we're going to help you manage that server, right? Then came the cloud era. And the cloud basically disrupted the entire bare metal market. And now people are talking about multi-tenant and, you know, hybrid clouds and all the different types of solutions that are available in the market. That's good. But also what has happened is that has allowed a significant increase in cyber threats.
Yep.
Because the data resides in clouds, it's available somewhere in some data center that can be accessible more rapidly than versus having someone's computer sitting in below the desk disconnected from the internet, right? The idea that when we're talking about new data management capabilities, like how do we handle so much data that's being produced every single second?
Mm-hmm.
We need a new way to manage that data. We need new types of technologies to be able to manage that. And there are maybe one or two that comes to my mind. I think Amazon is playing in that era where they're trying to figure out a way to protect your data as if it were in your data center disconnected from the internet. I was reading this article. It was very fascinating. Mm-hmm. I didn't know exactly what they were calling it. But the idea is more and more such types of technologies that will allow people to store their data more securely or manage their data more securely than what we have today. So that's what we're alluding to. We don't know what it's going to be like, but we feel like it is time that the cloud computing takes the new evolution where it becomes something else that stores your data more securely than it is today.
That's a good one. I like that. I was trying to think about how, you know, how to explain that one, but you know, I think that's a great example. So yeah, that's a great one. Cool. Okay. So number six, AI will enable more people to find work. So this is an interesting one, right? Because I think from reading it, most people are going to think, well, you're talking like machines taking other people's jobs. But here, what we're saying is that AI will enable more people to find work, right? So most people think AI is going to take away your jobs and you won't be able to find work and everything's going to become automated. So then how are we saying here that AI will help people find work?
What I think the primary focus on this one is particularly people with special needs.
Okay.
And right. People who are not able to perform some of the basic functions of work today can do that. And very, very simple example, and this may not be exactly the example that people are looking for, but someone who is a special need person, they're not able to access the computer and get the answers to their question.
Correct.
Today, the voice-based technology, which is partially driven by AI, helps them get the answer, like Google, all the Google devices, all the Alexa devices, and so on and so forth. And they can communicate. They can get access to a lot of different information, even though they have accessibility challenges. Similarly, there's going to be more adoption of such technology in the work environment. Imagine when you have an Alexa in an office where someone is trying to do work, where they're not able to go do work physically, but they're able to use their voice to be able to do the work. How powerful is that? So that's what we're trying to convey here is AI will enable more people to find work. The people who are not able to find work because of certain limitations will be able to do so because of AI. So there's not like, you know, it's not always like robots going to take over the job, all the sad stories.
Exactly.
Lots of positive things that are happening.
Great explanation. Yeah, cool. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure. I wanted to challenge you with that idea just to make sure people understood it's not AI. It's not the Terminator series, right? Which is awesome because Terminator is awesome. Okay. Okay. Number seven, online shopping will be labeled an addiction. Oh, come on. Of course.
I think it's already an addiction. I was even reaching to a point where I was thinking about talking to my wife, like, I'm going to just disable my Amazon Prime membership. Because believe it or not, like when I look at my bills, I'm like, I'm just buying stuff. And I'm pretty sure you guys are the same. Like, you know, looking at all the Amazon accounts,
we had a clogged toilet.
We're not even thinking about it.
We had a clogged toilet and I needed a new plunger. And I didn't want to go to the store and get one. So I just did Prime Now and just had Amazon deliver me a plunger. I was like, that's so lazy.
I know. And I think it is. And I was thinking about it. Someone, it was a WeWork or someone, they posted an article that by 2020, based on all the research that they have been doing, or 2021, mm-hmm. they're officially going to call online shopping as addiction, because it sparks the same level of your mental behavior or mental cycles that you're sparked by dopamine. And
oh,
instead
my
of like, yeah, it is. It's pretty crazy, right? So instead of watching TV or watching you know, falling into any kind of addiction like an alcohol or something like that, people are now into the online shopping addiction.
Well, as a retail marketer in my past, when we did free shipping, people were freaking out. You know, you could do a discount where it's without the free shipping, it comes out to the same price. But when you add in that phrase free shipping for online shopping, they freak out and they start buying everything. So hey, whatever. So, okay. Right. All right. So number eight, we got a little bit more time, a few more minutes left, right? Number eight, move over IoT, which is Internet of Things. It's time for Internet of Behaviors. This is an awesome one because this was a making over the past few years. It's finally coming to fruition because the technology is allowing this to happen. So what is IOB?
IOB, Internet of Behaviors. Well, IoT allowed us to enable any kind of device and connect that to the internet, right? That's the whole concept of IoT, is like your fridge, your TV, your everything, is your washing machine is all connected. And that's still happening. I don't think we're at the peak of the IoT. But what's also happening is IOB is where our behavior online are being connected to our physical role in this world.
Yep.
And
exactly.
And you know, for example, like if you are accessing certain type of information, that's being converted. Like a simple example could be, if you're accessing certain type of information, the next day you could probably get a gift from Amazon that shows what you are trying to access on the internet. So that's just one example of it. Like another example is, if you're showing a certain type of digital behavior, when you go to the airport, you can probably get an upgrade because you seem to be the right candidate for the upgrade, and you are the one that's actually going to travel more. That's how the digital journey is being built.
And this is only possible because of now integrated technologies, where you don't have data fragments, where it's no longer siloed, but you have these open garden environments where data is being shared across multiple tools, you know, across an omnichannel experience, and you know, all the jargon and stuff like that. But because of that, that's why IOB is possible, right?
Yeah, and more of that happening. I know there are organizations still struggling with data silos.
Yep.
But you're absolutely right. The technology is available and people are moving in the direction. So we think that IoT will continue to advance in the direction of IOB.
Cool. Okay, we got three left. Here we go. Number nine, multi-cloud service providers will see bigger adoption. So multi-cloud, what is a multi-cloud?
Multi-cloud is something that we're seeing already happening for lots of organizations. To give you a very simple example, for a large organization, they may use a managed hosting provider still, like Rackspace. Then they're going to have a bigger play in the AWS. They're going to have certain types of test technology in Azure, and so on and so forth. So, and then probably they're going to have Office 365 as their email service provider. And that's in multi-cloud environment, right? So you have multiple clouds that you're dealing with. The problem is, how are you going to manage all of that? There's a single user who's trying to access all these different types of cloud, and he or she may not know how do you manage all of that in one area. And that's giving a rise to newer types of technologies, just like RightScale Cloud Management, Dell Cloud Manager, which can integrate your multi-cloud into one interface. So you're going to go to your computer, be able to see all your different clouds and data in it and what's happening, all the transactions that are going across the different clouds. So that's what we're saying is, because of the multi-cloud adoption, we're going to see more adoption of these types of providers that allow you to consolidate that into one area.
This is similar also to Adobe's Experience Platform product that was released recently too.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. So very cool. Yeah. I don't want to go too much into that, but this is not an Adobe show. So we'll continue to go on, right? Okay. So number 10, we got two more minutes. 5G launch and adoption will pave way for hologram or 3D video calls. This was fantastic. I cannot wait for 5G. It's going to be the life-changing experience for all of technology.
I cannot wait either. And one of my biggest peeves is I just don't like traveling. Traveling meaning traveling for work, commuting for work. I hate traffic. Yeah. And for me, being able to do the work from wherever you are, it's the ideal way to work. And I'm not surprised that lots of organizations are still not considering that, maybe because of technology. But I feel like being anywhere and being able to access enough data throughput that you can project yourself into a meeting.
That's awesome.
Anywhere in the world, or meet your loved ones anywhere in the world in real time. That's game changer for me. So you nailed it when you said, Jeremy, like, you know, the 5G is going to be fantastic technology for all of us. Is going to allow us to do the 3D video calls.
Well, that gets into like Star Trek, Star Wars type of technology, and basically Tony Stark from, you know, Iron Man type of technology.
Jarvis, right? Yeah,
there exactly. You go. Awesome. Okay. Last one, number 11. Digital and data jobs will grow by double digits. Absolutely. I mean, the more data that's out there, the more that it becomes a digital world. And we're talking about IOB, we're talking about online shopping as an addiction, we're talking about online behavior, killing out big box stores, the adoption of AI, cyber threats. Come on, man. This has to be a prediction.
Yeah. And it's already happening, and it's going to continue to rapidly happen more. One of the concepts that I want to leave everyone with when I was doing the research is called liquid workforce. There were, I think this term was coined by PwC. What they were talking about is the future workforce is going to be liquid in the sense that the concept of full-time, permanent, stable employment, which is already eroding, is going to completely go away. And that what that will create is more liquidity in the workforce, where you can probably work for 5 different organizations at any given point of time.
That's awesome.
And the reason why I bring that up is because from a digital and data job perspective, that's something to pay attention to. So if you are not at the forefront of the transition in workforce, then your skill set could become obsolete. So it's very important to pay attention to what's happening in the digital data world and try and build some of the skills and capabilities to help you get there.
Last thing you want to do is then realize that you're no longer 30 or 40, but you're moving into your 50s, and you're not in a job role that is going to be important in the future, and you get let go. That's a scary
Absolutely.
Thought.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cool, man. Okay. So we got 11 down, right? These are all great. I'm super excited about these. I'm super excited about our score for 2019. I think we were like a 10. Out of 11 because those two halves.
We were close.
We were close. So 10 out of 11. But
I think we did really good. And I'm hoping that some of the ones that we have for 2020 will also perform really well.
Oh, we're gonna kill it. I'm already predicting the predictions. We're gonna kill it.
Nice.
So this has been fantastic. Thank you again, Samir. Thank you for our audience. We're growing in we're going like crazy. A lot more users, a lot more downloads. Getting a lot more reviews. Please keep them coming. You can find us in a lot of different places. And thank you guys.
Yeah, and thank you to you all. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for being there with us in their journey. The last 3 or 4 years we have been
we're almost 4 years now. Podcasting
4 years. Yeah, exactly. And thank you for all the love and all the comment, all the support. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, this is awesome. Best part of my month. So cool. Thank you guys. Great. And thank you, Samir. And we'll see you on the air.
See you. Yeah. Bye.